Welcome to Hour 2 of the game. John Kurtz, the going crazy Mitch Fortner, and Tyler Dreiling here with you for the second hour of the show. Match game at 5:25 coming up here. What ESPN, NBA TV, CBS Sports, and many others had to say about Wesley Owundu being drafted 33rd overall by the Orlando Magic last night. Good pick, bad pick. Reviews were pretty mixed, and it's interesting where the dividing line was on all of that. We also have news on Corey Sutton this hour. Speaking of polarizing things here, Corey Sutton has a destination. You can't be serious at 5:50 as well. Before we leave here, LaVar Ball was at it again last night at the NBA draft, as you can imagine. The game KMAN on Twitter, if you want to get at us, 537-1350, toll-free 866-776-1350. You know, I may let you keep this song for the Friday music if you promise to emphatically do the piano or whatever it is there at the beginning every single time. You're going to have to do it every time.
That's how I imagine it was played when this song was recorded. That's some very heavy piano coming into this song.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I'm definitely a fan of you acting it out, and I agree with you that that's probably how it went. So if you do that every time, we can keep that as the Friday music. That is fine with me. Liven things up a little bit here on the show. Well, if you missed in the open, one, we were right when flipping a coin yesterday about Wesley Owundu getting drafted. He goes 33rd overall to the Orlando Magic. A lot of people seem to be wanting to take it, at least from the K-State fan base, one way or the other, saying, well, this is evidence that the team should have won more. They should have done more with Wesley Owundu. They had an NBA draft pick. Or, well, look, Frank Martin never had one of his recruits drafted. Bruce Weber now has. He can go get talent. I don't think you should really use it one way or the other. I think the big takeaway here is be happy for Wesley Owundu. It says a lot about him that he turned himself into an NBA draft pick. And we already knew that Bruce Weber, at least I already knew, in my opinion, that he can recruit better than most people would give him credit for, but has struggled with player retention and player development. And to be honest with you, Wesley Owundu is a pretty good encapsulation of both of those things that to me have been hallmarks of the Bruce Weber era. He has recruited Marcus Foster, which was another guy like Wes, three stars, under-recruited, came in and was great, very productive college player. But with him, the failure there was retention, managing his personality, everything that went on before he left. Wesley Owundu, another guy overshadowed by the Harrison twins, two guys that went to Kentucky, comes in, productive player here that turns himself into an NBA player. But even in Wes's own words, it didn't really start the NBA attention until the very end of his senior year. So it took a while for the light switch to really fully turn on for him as well. So there's some frustration there. I think it's a really good encapsulation of all that. So really, what you should take out of this is, hey, it's a good thing for the program. It's a good thing for Wesley Owundu, and hopefully it's a good thing for the Orlando Magic. And that is an angle that we have not really covered here. You're the big Magic fan here, so take off that K-State fan hat. Just give me the Orlando Magic perspective.
Take off the purple glasses and put on the blue ones.
Yeah, uh-huh. What did you can put on those Magic shorts that you never
yeah,
got me.
I'm
and go we'll, ahead and we'll give me the take here. I'm just kidding. The take here on Wesley Owundu for the Magic. How does this fit with that Magic roster?
Well, it's there are Magic fans that don't understand the pick, and it's not because of Wesley Owundu. It is nothing personal against Wesley Owundu. It's just that they are not a roster that was really built needing another guy that has the measurables of Wes. They've got a lot of forwards on that roster. They do not have a lot of guards on the roster, and so.
But see, I'm calling Wes a guard. I mean, he's going to be a guard in the NBA more or less.
Yes, he's going to be everything. I mean, he's going to be all over the place. There's not really a place that you're just going to stick him and have him exclusively be there. But I'm just talking about more from a point guard standpoint. There were a lot of fans that really wanted them to go get Frank Mason with that pick. And I personally don't know if Frank Mason's going to make it in the NBA. He's got some real size deficiencies. But the point is they wanted someone who can facilitate the offense and take the ball down the floor a little bit quicker than Wes is going to be able to do. So there are some Magic fans that don't really understand the pick, but that's not because they don't like Wesley Owundu as a player. They just don't know if that's what they needed on the team right now.
Well, the order that I went in to compile all this here that I'm about to deliver you, ESPN, CBS Sports, Sporting News, Bleacher Report, the ESPN broadcast, and the NBA TV broadcast, all analyzing the pick of Wesley Owundu to the Magic. I went in and first got the audio from the TV broadcast last night. You had a broadcast going on NBA TV. You had a broadcast going on ESPN. And after I heard what you're about to hear from those guys, I thought, oh boy, well, I guess this was not real highly thought of. It seems like the analysis here would be that it was a reach to go get Wesley Iwundu. Then I hit the internet, and I got a much different story. They painted a much different picture. We'll start with what was probably the worst and most damning here of the Wesley Iwundu pick by the Magic at 33, and that was from the ESPN broadcast itself, which included Reese Davis and Jay Billis.
Iwundu averaged 13 points per game a year ago, a couple of tournament games. 2017 averaged a little better than 21 points per game, and he's selected by the Magic 33rd overall.
Little surprise. I didn't have Wesley Iwundu ranked this high, but he is 6'7". Another guy with extremely long arms. He's got a 7'1 wingspan. Good all-around game, and he plays both ends of the floor. Not a type of guy that gets a lot of steals or deflections, but he does keep his man in front. A solid player. I just didn't have him ranked quite this high.
I mean, reading into what Jay Billis said there, not just his words, but like the intonation and everything.
Jay Billis has been a hater of K-State since day one. So, get out of here.
You're trolling, are you not?
Kind of.
Oh,
somewhat.
Come on. Come on. But in that instance, yes, I think he more or less was. Like, you could just tell by the way he was saying that, he was kind of, you know, if there was an audible way to let your voice and the intonation of your voice say WTF without actually saying it, that's what I got from Jay Billis right there. Not quite as harsh here, I would say, from NBA TV, and Seth Davis eventually is the one who is going to give this analysis.
Wesley Iwundu out of K-State. This is a guy who really showed off when we saw him down the stretch of the season and then into the conference tournament. He's Iwundu out of K-State.
Sorry about
this
that.
This is a guy who really showed off when we saw him down the stretch of the season and then into the conference tournament. He's got a lot of ability, Seth. Is this going to be maybe a special pick possibility at 33?
Well, he's no Jordan Bell. They should have taken Jordan Bell, but he is a versatile defender. I like that about him. He's an older player, 22 years old, 6'2", 205, 7'1 wingspan, which you like. Really improved as a three-point shooter. Was 20% as a junior, 38% as a senior. Led a team that was a borderline NCAA tournament team. So again, you know, we're in the second round here. Can he make a roster? Can he help your locker room? He's an older guy. He plays hard. No sense of entitlement certainly coming into the league. Jordan Bell is a guy to me who should have been a middle first round pick. The fact that he hasn't been selected right now, a lot of people are going to look really dumb in years to come.
So there, he did not seem overly thrilled that that was the Magic's pick, but it in that context was more about the guy that they did not take, Jordan Bell, who he thought was really sliding and would be a good pick. Bell wound up going to the Golden State Warriors, and I think a lot of people really like that fit and that pick. So maybe that's another guy, too, that the Magic fans were upset they did not go after. But you get what I'm saying about the vibe that came from the TV coverage last night of the Iwundu pick there at 33. But then you go to everything that you can find online here, and first of all, there are an obscene amount of like pick-by-pick analysis lists put together of the NBA draft last night. ESPN, Chad Ford, their guy graded the Magic's class as an A-. They did not individualize the pick grade, but an A- for the Magic's draft class, and the blurb on Iwundu says, Iwundu has some playmaking abilities as a wing and is a capable defender. His offense is still unpolished, but if he can hit threes, he has a chance to stick around. CBS Sports, not quite as kind. They gave the Magic a B-, and the blurb was, prototypical NBA body, versatile offensive player. Not a whole lot there. Much more ink on their first-round pick. Sporting News, though, back to the A- grade. Says this is a great pick by the Magic, who could really use athleticism on the wing like Iwundu can provide. He's built like an NBA player already and can handle the ball. The key will be the jump shot. If he can shoot, he's absolutely an NBA player. What does that sound like? And Bleacher Report gives it a B, says Iwundu may have been a bit of a reach this early in the second round, but his tantalizing upside made the Magic feel as if they needed to strike fast. Much more positive from those reviews.
You want some inside reporting, inside knowledge? When I was in Orlando doing all that stuff, I had a chance to go into their practice facility, before Wesley Iwundu started his workout with the Magic, and they were in the middle of two other workouts. On one side of the floor, they had Nigel Hayes out of Wisconsin that they were working out. And on the other side of the floor, they had Jordan Bell, the guy that Seth Davis thought they should have taken. And I had a chance to sit down, and you know, Frank Vogel was there, the Magic VPs and executives were there, and had a chance to sit down for about 20 minutes and watch that workout, which was a really interesting experience because you do wonder what exactly what kind of drills they go through and what they're looking for. And so clearly the Magic were interested in Jordan Bell also, but I didn't think that he just was missing a lot of the three-pointers that they were having him do. Like, he didn't look like he was draining a bunch of shots, so... Maybe it was from an unimpressive workout, and that's why they decided to go with Iwundu over Jordan Bell. There's your insight for today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one part of one workout.
20 minutes.
20 minutes. 20 minutes of bad Jordan Bell was the reasoning, I guess, that Wes went to the Magic. I mean, just I do not know the NBA well enough. I always try and preface anything I say about the NBA with that. I think to me, it's interesting that I do read here that they're saying Wesley Iwundu is high upside, because what I was getting from Jay Billis and Seth Davis was almost like, well, this is not as high of an upside pick because he's limited offensively. So it's weird, the dichotomy there in what people from the NBA side of things think about Iwundu, whether he's high upside or not. And I would almost tend to lean less on the upside thing here when you're talking about the NBA, because he's older. He's 22. He's played 4 years of college basketball, and we talked all day yesterday about how rare it is for college seniors anymore to get to the NBA and be drafted. So, for those reasons, plus the fact that he's really more of a defensive stopper than anything, and the jump shot is what is lagging behind, I would think that the upside is lower for him, but he would project as a guy who can be solid and go in there and defend. And maybe if the three-point does come along, he can be a 3-and-D guy in the NBA. I didn't think it was as much all about upside. I would have thought this would have been a different type of pick, but you're getting more of that from those at Bleacher Report, Sporting News, ESPN, etc., on the internet. So, I don't know. It just seems like there is a lot of different information on Wesley Iwundu, whether people liked it or not, or whether or not they think he is high upside or not. That's what I have for you on what people think about Wesley Iwundu. It's all over the map.
Yeah. We're just going to have to wait and see, and hopefully draft night is not the peak of Wesley Iwundu's NBA career. Hopefully it's just getting started.
Some good news for the program, though. You have three guys in the NBA now: Magruder, Beasley, and Iwundu. Also, K-State, one of four schools across the nation to have, let's see here, NBA draft pick, NFL draft pick, Major League Baseball draft pick, and a WNBA draft pick. So there's a nice factoid for you about K-State this year. Saw it earlier. I was like, is this four ma? We had three ma with the titles. This is now four ma?
I'm going to go with no.
Okay. No on that one. We'll play the match game next.
Stars, Mitch Fortner, Tyler Dreiling, and John Kurtz as we play the star-studded Big Money Match Game.
It is that time. Friday, we'll play the match game. Mitch Fortner is going to be your host today. The match game is just like the old school game show turned new school game show. Mitch will come up with three fill-in-the-blank questions based largely on what we've talked about this week, at least I would assume. And we have to try and match his answers. For every match that we get correct of the fill-in-the-blank questions, we score a point. Lately, the rules have been changing quite a bit as the game goes along, so that'll likely happen once again. We're coming off back-to-back records here. One, a high score set, and then last week you guys set the record for lowest score because you tied on the tiebreaker question. So we have some high bars to clear in terms of what we've done lately in the match game.
Mitch, what's the score right now?
We said last hour, I gave you the ding. It was technically 1-0, but I'm gonna reject that point.
Thank you.
And what? We are going to have a clean slate.
Thank you.
Heading into this contest.
Much appreciated. All right. We'll take it away, one Mitch Fortner. You are the host today. You had the three fill-in-the-blank questions.
All right, and just to remind everybody, once I give you the fill-in-the-blank question, I will give my answer first, and we will go to you for the main three questions. If and when we go to a tiebreaker, you'll give your answers first, and then I will give mine. So here we go. Question number one. Wesley Iwundu was picked number 33 in the draft last night. Some people a little bit surprised that Wes was picked that soon. My audio was cut from earlier in the show from a year ago when I said he would go in the early second round after he added a better jump shot. But I was surprised to see him picked before blank.
Oh, okay.
You guys are already writing your answers down?
No, I got an answer right away. I got an answer right away to this one. We write the answers down, by the way. This is not, so therefore we cannot mooch off each other's answers. I can't see it on the radio, but we keep ourselves in check.
I think I went a different direction from you, and I feel pretty good about this.
All right.
I'm feeling good.
All right. We got our answers locked in.
Are you guys sure you're ready to go?
Yes.
Oh, wait.
This is my final answer.
All right. So I got on Twitter last night, and I started looking through what Magic fans were thinking of the Wesley pick, because right away the Magic tweeted out a picture of Wesley, and they weren't exactly thrilled about it because they didn't pick a guard. And a lot of them were mentioning a player from Oklahoma State by the name of Juwan Evans. And I was surprised as well that Juwan Evans was not one of the players picked because he had a pretty good year last year with Oklahoma State. But I was really shocked they didn't nobody picked Frank Mason before Wesley Iwundu. So I went Frank Mason from KU, who went the pick after Wesley.
Bam, ring that up, baby, Frank Mason. To me, that was easy because
it was meant to be easy. I thought that would be an easy one to get.
Yeah, he's top of mind because he went the next pick.
Yeah, but when it's supposed to be easy, then you start second guessing, thinking he's playing games with you.
Exactly, that's what I was
looking for. Who else did you go with?
That's why I've got Monte Morris. What? The all-time NCAA leader in assist-to-turnover ratio. Give me a break.
How about the Naismith Award winner?
Frank Mason went to the Kings, and Monte Morris went to the Nuggets with the 51st. Pick in the second round.
All right, I'm up 1-0. Give me question two.
John won. Tyler, we thought would be one, but it's zero because who makes the rules? This guy
just rubbing it in.
All right. Earlier this morning, ESPN senior writer Buster Olney released an article titled "Royals Won't Sell Their Stars at Trade Deadline." That's awesome, right? We all love that. He says, as of right now, Dayton Moore has decided the Royals won't be sellers at the trade deadline. I think that all makes us happy because we want our championship team here as long as possible, even though if that means another, 90 games left or so, maybe a little bit more than that, give or take. But this makes me especially happy because it would be hard for me to see the Royals without blank.
Right. Okay, this is a good one. That's a good question.
Is it limited to guys that actually would have had a chance to get traded? Like, Alex Gordon was not going to get traded, obviously.
Right.
You're
right. Like, Gordon and Salvi is off the table.
Right.
But everybody else.
Okay.
It's fair game.
All right.
Because Salvi signed a new contract. So did Alex Gordon.
This is a tough read because my perception has been like Salvi is your favorite Royal.
Got it.
I'll take a shot here.
No problem.
I'll take a shot. I don't know if I have a good enough read on you here, but we're ready to go. We're both locked in.
Salvi's not my favorite Royal.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. But there's one guy that stands alone to me. Eric Hosmer.
Like Godsmack?
I'll laugh at that one. That was good, John. Nicely done. Especially coming off a stampede. Your mind might be a little weird at times.
Yep. But.
Hey, Eric Hosmer is one of those guys that he delivers. He was bad at the beginning of the year, but he's a lot better this year. But when it comes to the future, I could get over Eric Hosmer going to Miami or to somewhere else. I don't know if he wants to go home, but that's fine. Lorenzo Cain is another guy that I feel is he is definitely a staple. He is a memorable player when it comes to the Royals' run.
Why are you looking at me like that?
But there's one guy that it would just break my heart. It would just break my heart.
It's like I'm on The Bachelor or something. But the thing is, setting me up.
But the thing is, it's probably a matter of time. Like at the end of the year, he'll probably go somewhere else because he's going to make that big bucks. Mike Moustakas is going to break my heart because he feels like that loyal guy. I would hope he would sign later on. I don't know if the Royals will be able to afford him later on, but he's a clubhouse guy. He works hard. His worth ethic is what I really appreciate about him. Even though he's from L.A., he just seems like a blue-collar guy. And
Is this actually the answer?
Plus, fans-wise, I mean, you see the appreciation for Moose all over the place.
Okay. Is that actually the answer?
My answer is Mike Moustakas.
Okay. Well, I had Lorenzo Cain, and I was all excited after you teased the Hosmer.
Rip it up. Bad answer.
Yeah.
Same. I had Lo-Kane.
Lo-Kane.
I don't feel as bad.
I felt good about that pick, too.
So it's still 1-0 me heading into the final question.
Yeah. Final question here. 1-0 John. Okay. All right. And we're going to keep this just a point.
Yeah, because you want us just to go to the tiebreaker.
Yep.
All right, guys. The Big Slick Celebrity Softball game just got underway moments ago. Mm-hmm. Just got started not too long ago. And that's at the K, of course. They have this every year, and it's put on by Eric Stonestreet, Paul Rudd, Rob Riggle, Jason Sudeikis, and David Koechner. I believe that's how you say his name.
Koechner.
Is it Koechner?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
I have no idea, honestly. But take those guys out of it. They play every year, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if like all those guys, but more or less, Sudeikis, those guys, yeah.
Last couple of years, they've all been there. But for the rest of the celebrities, there's one in my mind that's going to drive the bus this afternoon.
One
is going to drive the bus.
Dang it.
Thank goodness Tyler
is going to be
blessed.
I saved you.
Tyler just named off all the celebrities to me.
Well, here's the deal. I'm going to help you out.
During the last break.
Because I narrowed it down to seven.
Okay.
Seven names that, for one, I think people will somewhat recognize. But this whole roster this year, I noticed, is just filled with people that have no athletic bone in their body. So it makes it even more fun. So here's the list here. Will Forte, who was on Saturday Night Live. Sarah Chalk. I think known for being on Scrubs, but she was also one of the Beckys on Roseanne. Johnny Knoxville from Jackass.
Really?
Kevin Pollak.
I told you that
movie
one.
Star. Martin Starr, who was probably mostly known for being on Freaks and Geeks, the one season of Freaks and Geeks. Jake Tapper from CNN. And then finally, Weird Al Yankovic.
Man,
another one that's tough to read, Mitch. But I know like what answer would be for the funniest answer here, so I'm gonna go with that.
The problem is, I have to go with a different answer from John, so I have to think of what he would put, and then put something different. Okay, so I gotta take a chance here. Okay.
Meanwhile, John is texting.
Yeah, I am. Sorry. It's my version of retweeting WTF facts here.
No texting and hosting, John.
I'm not hosting.
Are you guys ready
to host?
Yeah.
I'm a contestant. Do what I want.
I'm just going to come out and tell you my answer. I'm going to go with the only person that actually has an athletic bone in his body.
Okay, yeah, that's not good.
And it's Kevin Pollak. And the reason I picked Kevin Pollak.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is. I don't even know who that is.
He was in a few good men.
And?
I said Weird Al, but I guess it doesn't really matter because I know that we're both going to have this wrong.
I picked Kevin Pollak because he is an expert poker player.
Mitch does like poker.
He plays in the World Series of Poker.
Okay, ring it up for me. It's over. 1-0.
I had Jake Tapper.
I've got the arms up.
See,
there you go. Play me the music.
But wait a second here. This is not over. This is not over because
he's bringing a chair into the match.
Are you going to bring back
Tyler's
point?
I felt bad
or
about
here?
Taking away Tyler's point.
Yes.
So I'm going to have to bring it back.
Okay. I started this whole trend.
This is basically Undertaker rising up on
taste
the mat.
Taste of my own medicine. All right, get us the tiebreaker.
All right, guys. I'm going to go back to the Royals because tonight they open up a three-game series with the Toronto Blue Jays, and a big reason they've had a big comeback in this season is because of the offense and because I felt like the home run ball that's been the storyline, in my opinion, this season, the home run ball. The power has finally arrived with this core of players, and they're approaching, like I mentioned before, they're approaching setting the new Royals record. Maybe one of these guys can set the new individual Royals record for home runs in a season. So the amount of home runs the Royals will hit in the three-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay.
Okay, well.
Price is Right rules, we need the clarification here.
No.
So just closest.
Price is Right rules
closest.
Are dumb. Really dumb. Games.
Don't be hating on the greatest game show of all time, Jim.
No, I mean, I like The Price is Right, but I'm saying applying those rules to our game. You got to leave that for The Price is Right. Okay. I'm good. I'm in. Yep. Dunzo. Greatest number there is.
All right, gentlemen.
This is where we go first, right?
No. I go first.
Yeah.
Every, you screw it up.
Every single week.
Okay.
John, do you want to lose?
Hey, we both put seven.
Both put seven.
Yeah, so
oh, my goodness.
It's over. Well, play yourself the winning music. It's what happened last week. You win. You win the match game.
I don't even have to give my answer.
What is it?
Six.
Ah.
Host wins the match game again. All right. Well, again, we drag people along for an entire segment only to have no winner. You Can't Be Serious at 5:50. Coming up next, where Corey Sutton is transferring to. He announced that today. Plus, who did it worse, Jay Billis or Bill Self, next on the game. LaVar Ball added again last night at the NBA draft. That's in You Can't Be Serious to end the show for right now. We'll pass along that earlier today, Corey Sutton tweeted that he is transferring to Appalachian State. They used to be an FCS team. They spurned that upset of Michigan once upon a time. They're now FBS. So we'll still have to sit out a year with that transfer. But Corey Sutton, of course, the player who set off the chain of events that resulted in basically a fight with Bill Snyder. Bill Snyder would not release him from K-State, so he was going to have to pay his way for the first year if he transferred somewhere. He went to Twitter, called Bill Snyder a slave master. Bill Snyder eventually made comments about a player that we assumed was him, perhaps, failing a couple of drug tests, and then K-State grants him his release. That saga totally finalized now, even after he had gotten the release from K-State, because he is headed to Appalachian State. You know, to be honest, as I said throughout the whole thing, I understand why K-State and Bill Snyder have their policies the way that they have to try and protect against too many guys transferring if you make it too easy to go ahead and do that. But I will say that when this saga ends with Corey Sutton just wanting to transfer to Appalachian State, which is back closer to his home in Georgia, and also, well, an FBS school, a much lower-level school, it makes the whole thing seem sillier than it really needed to be. I mean, you look at this and say, we really made a big stink over a kid who just wanted to get back closer to home and go to Appalachian State. I mean, I think that's what I read into it. I get why it happened from every single angle, all sides, these types of things happen. But I think this is where just college athletics as a whole needs to take a step back and look at the way we're doing things. I know that not every situation ends up like this, where it is a kid who legitimately wants to get back home and is going down to a lower level. But this was about mainly playing time and being homesick, and he went to a school where he's going to get a lot more playing time, you'd think, and get back closer to home. Why make such a big deal over somebody trying to do that? Seems silly.
Agree. And presuming that he does have to sit out a year before he plays, September 1st, 2018, App State at Penn State.
Hmm.
And you can see Corey Sutton in action.
Okay.
They do open this coming season at Georgia on September 2nd on ESPN.
I wish Corey Sutton the best. My interactions with him were always – I mean, I enjoyed him. I thought he actually – you know, had a pretty good head on his shoulders. When I talked to him a couple times at first media day, when we were first finding out that he may be a guy that plays and he'd had a nice spring game his first year, I came away thinking this guy's pretty sharp. Obviously, I think he made a mistake in the language that he used on Twitter to describe Bill Snyder, but I always thought that he was a kid that had a pretty good idea of what he was doing, pretty good head on his shoulders. I wish him nothing but the best. I've had to stick up for him a few times just in conversations with people since then, but you don't have to take my word for it, I guess, but I would tell you I think he is a pretty good kid. Now, you gave me this idea when we were just spitballing here during one of the breaks, but if you hear the and I think is it like the number two to Adam Silver in the NBA who was calling out Wesley Owundu's name when he got drafted? So many ways I've seen Wesley Owundu's name either misspelled or mispronounced over the years. Man, he absolutely nailed the pronunciation here.
Wesley Owundu.
Can't do it much better than that. I've seen just today, either on social media or K-State fans on the internet, spell it, it's K-State fans, by the way, spell it I-W, spelled it with an I instead of a U, that would be?
A U instead of an I?
No, an I, instead of a U. This is going to get really confusing.
Iwindu. Okay.
Iwindu, I've seen Iwindu and Iwandu. How about we say it like that? I've seen Iwindu and Iwandu just today. So still, after 4 years and the guy playing a ton of games here and being the first draft pick in nearly a decade, people that follow the team still can't spell the name right. We had Jay Billis in that clip that we played for you earlier in his analysis of the pick say it like this.
Excited to have Wesley Iwundu.
So he went with the U. He went with the Iwundu. And then, of course, we have the all-time leader. I pitched this as who did it worse, Billis or Bill Self. The answer here is always going to be Bill Self. The all-time worst pronunciation of Wesley Iwundu's name right here from none other than Bill Self.
Owaku is if I pronounced that right, I hope I didn't. I hope I did. But I've always loved his game. And
because not only Iwaku, but then I hope I pronounced that right. No, you did not.
It's almost like Iwundu's name was a Elite Eight game for Bill Self. Some big time issues there.
Yeah. We get to it.
Warning! Dad joke alert! Dad joke alert! Warning! Dad joke alert! Dad joke alert!
Finally!
We've had that ready to go, locked and loaded for like a week and a half, and we finally got to use it.
I see. I make that comment, and I look up, and Mitch's face is just lighting. He looks like he's starting to panic, and he jumps right to the computer. All right. Good job.
Man.
Is Crowell still here? Because I'm going to need to talk to him after the show.
No, he's gone.
Oh, boy. Good work, boys.
You can't be serious.
Good work.
I was going to play Bill Self again, but that was better.
Was that really that dad-ish of a joke? I thought that was decent.
Well, I was literally just about to go, but because I'd forgotten about that, and then I look up. LeVar Ball and You Can't Be Serious next.
Gosh, he's beautiful.
Did you hear that?
So, we'll open it up to questions.
Johnny Idiot Face over there is never going to bring you a title.
This guy sucks.
Cliff Kingsbury gets me hot and bothered, and I love it. There, I said it. That was from a man.
I'm a 4-3 wide receiver. Why should I play at Michigan?
You are?
That was a clunk. There's not much I can do about that.
You can't be serious.
My guy, LeVar Ball, at the NBA draft last night. Lonzo Ball did get taken by the LA Lakers. But, of course, we all knew that. And, of course, LeVar Ball knew that. I mean, why would you even ask the guy?
Is he going to the Lakers or not? Have you heard?
I told you. From the words of Zeus, Jesus, everybody said he's going to be a Laker. They told me before they told y'all.
I mean, Zeus and Jesus already knew that Lonzo Ball was going to be a Laker.
He has connections.
Yeah. LeVar Ball is a pretty connected guy. And apparently, Zeus and Jesus can see the future as well because he's already gone on record of guaranteeing big things next year for Lonzo and the Lakers.
Lonzo Ball is going to take the Lakers to the playoffs his first year. Come see me when he does. I have another hat on to say I told you so.
There you go. You heard it here first.
Jesus is a big baller.
You think Jesus is going to pay $495 for some big baller brand shoes?
I doubt it. I doubt it, but I don't know.
Maybe he can take those shoes and turn them into enough shoes for the entire country.
The Baltimore Orioles are on the verge of setting a very strange and very pathetic Major League record tonight, which, you know, I'm just totally torn up over it because of Jason Lockenfora, but they have allowed at least 5 runs in 19 straight games. That is absolutely crazy, and they can set a new Major League record by allowing 5 runs tonight, which will be the 20th game in a row. That's so bad. So bad. It's amazing that they're actually .500 right now.
Stopper? Anybody?
Yeah,
they've got stopper.
You know who they got on the mound tonight to stop this from happening? It's Ubaldo Jimenez.
That was going to be my guess.
Who's got a 6.6 ERA this year. Not happening. They're down at the Trop, first pitch in 10 minutes.
All right, gentlemen. I'm gonna give this one out to my wrestling buddies out there. All the people listening who are wrestling fans today, 21 years ago today, the most iconic promo of all time was dropped by one Stone Cold Steve Austin. It was on Jake the Snake Roberts. You might recognize it because an era was born.
Thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whipped your ass.
Gotta love Stone Cold.
That started a whole other thing.
You know, it absolutely did, because when I was growing up, I didn't watch like a lick of wrestling. One, I was not allowed to, which like I didn't care anyway, but thank goodness I wasn't. I would say like, thanks Mom and Dad for that. But no offense, Mitch.
And you grew up at the right time and you didn't watch it.
Well, and I had no perception of like what was going on in wrestling, but I knew about the Austin 3:16 thing. Like, it was big enough that it permeated itself into my world. And I, you know, there was no wrestling coverage on, no WrestleMania coverage or anything on ESPN back then like there is now. There was none of that, and I was still aware of that. And part of the reason was because it's sporting events. Like, it transcended to sporting events where people would, like, take it to, you know, whoever. Snyder 3:16, you know, whoever it was going to be on the sign. So I will for you on that has to be. I mean, is that like the biggest phenomenon nationally that wrestling's really ever created?
Austin 3:16, yeah. He did that all on his own, too.
That was just off the cuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
It really is too bad that his career ended before it needed to. I mean, he could still be doing it today if his health would allow him to.
Why did his career end?
He's got a neck injury.
Yeah, bad neck issues.
Yep.
He says he could go today. Like, if he wanted to do a match, he could. He doesn't need to. There's no reason for him to come back. But, I mean, I think fans would beg to differ.
Oh, man.
I would love to watch Steve Austin wrestle.
Was there, like, one move that was, like, the thing that did it for him, or?
Owen Hart back in the day gave him a pile driver, landed on right on top of his head, broke his neck, and he actually walked out of the building that night. Since then, he's always had neck issues.
Did he finish the match?
He finished the match.
Dude, that is crazy.
But he didn't really get up. I mean, very sloppy finish, but you can understand why.
Oh, God. What does he, like, say? Did he say to Owen Hart, like, dude, you broke my neck. Let's just
finish. You have to look up
thing.
The video. It's really awkward, but okay. I mean, they finished.
What do I Google? You got to tell me what to Google here.
Austin Owen. I'll come talk to you in here
okay.
a second.
Okay, we'll figure it out. All right, for Mitch and Tyler, I'm John. Thanks for listening to the game.